So with that, we will, as I mentioned, read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, that passage of six verses. So let's go ahead and read it. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verses 12 through 17, says the following. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complained against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So as we read that wonderful passage. Of course, first of all, we know that it starts with a word, therefore. And what do we know? We always know that whenever we see therefore in the scriptures, it's a connecting phrase that is connecting something that was said before to what is being said afterwards. And so, of course, recall that in these last couple chapters that we've been teaching, that we've been discussing and reading from, really Paul highlights two main points in the context of talking about some false teachers that were in that church who were teaching some sort of man-made regulations or some sort of rules. So in the context of those teachers teaching man-made rules, Paul really stresses two points that we find at the end of chapter 2 and in the beginning of chapter 3. And what are those points? If you recall, and if you quickly skim chapter 2, the first one is that Paul argues that we, true Christians, have died with Christ. We've been crucified, and we, through his death, also died. Died to what? Died to world, died to these various man-made regulations, and died to sin, number one. And then the second point for which he argues is that with Christ, we have also been raised. We've been born again. We've been set apart. We have been resurrected. And so by the time that we get to chapter 3, he says, because of this, set your mind on things above. Because of that, focus on what is to come. And so with that context, then Paul proceeds to tell us how to focus our Christian lives and what to focus on. And if you recall from our last discussion, if you skip back to verses 5 through 11, you find another therefore there. You find another therefore that ties the previous sections to this section. In verses 5 through 11, Paul was telling us what to do with respect to our flesh. What to do with respect to our humanly body. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is we all, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, we do what we'd not want to do. Why? Because we still live in this flesh, and this flesh revolts, and this flesh still has desires and passions. And so verses 5 through 11, recall, he reminds us how to fight and what to do with our flesh. And recall, he tells us in verse 5, he says, put to death your members which are on earth. Again, he's talking to Christians and he says, put to death those members. What are those members? He goes on and I remind you in verse 5, he says, it's fornication, it's uncleanness, it's passions, it's evil desires. So what he's telling us is that as we live and as we have evil thoughts, we are immediately to recognize it and squash that thought. Don't ponder on it. If you have some kind of a passionate evil thought that comes up, and it all does come up in all in our daily lives, we are to squash that. If we have a covetous thought, if it comes up, we squash that as well. If you skip and look at verse 8 and 9, for example, angry, wrath, malicious thoughts, as they come up, immediately we squash it and we put to death. So he spends those verses addressing, you could say, the negative, addressing how to deal with the flesh. But you know, he doesn't stop there. Why? Because if our entire existence was focused on just don't do this and don't do that and squash this thought and squash that thought, we would be very, very much of a poor excuse for an existence. So though he addresses that, though he addresses how we are to deal with the flesh and that we are to squash those desires. In verses 12 and on that we read today, he shows us the other side of that coin. He moves on and Paul demonstrates to us, well, not only are we to address the fleshly men in our body, we are also to focus on the things above, and we are to cultivate the spiritual men, and we are to cultivate all of the desires. And that's what we see in this passage that we just read. And so I quickly wanted to highlight the six things that I see that Paul is telling us to cultivate, the six things that he's addressing and he's telling the true believer to focus on in cultivating our spiritual walk. So if you look at verse 12, before we get to those six things, notice that he starts off the verse after the word therefore by saying three interesting little phrases or words. First, he says, the elect of God. Then he says, holy and beloved. Why do I stress those? Because again, he focuses our attention. Who is he writing to? He's writing to the elect, the true church, the Christians. Why is that important? Because we have to understand that we, as the elect, those that have tasted the Spirit and the power of God, you are the only ones who can actually do what he's about to suggest to do. And then no one else, people of this world, they cannot. People of this world do not have the power over their passions. Number one. Number two, he says, holy. We are holy. We are holy only through him. We are holy because of justification, because he gives us righteousness that he has. We in ourselves, as you know in Romans, as it says, our holiness is as dirty rags. But he reminds us here that we are holy, holy through what? Through Christ, of course, and beloved. You are beloved. And so with that quick reminder, Paul then goes on to provide to us the six or so pursuits of our holy life. And look, in that same verse, verse 12, he starts off with the first one and tells us, put on compassion, as it says in some of your translations, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. So first, what he's calling us to do as Christians to cultivate our spiritual life is he's calling us to put on all those things, and compassion is one of them. In different translation, it says, close yourself with compassion, with humility, with meekness, with long-suffering, and bearing with one another. So I'm not going to spend too much time looking into each one of those words. Why? Because I trust that we all know the English language and you know what those words mean. But I do want to highlight that he says, put on, or in some of your translations say, close yourself. And so I'm standing here right now before you guys wearing a tie. That's no surprise, right? As you look at me, you see me wearing a tie. Therefore, if someone else was to walk in here, and even before he would hear anything I would say to that person, he would still see the fact that I'm wearing a tie. And Paul is drawing an analogy here by saying, close yourself in all these different things, compassion being one of them, humility, meekness, meaning that if you interact with someone, these should be a part of your fiber, a part of your behavior, a part of you to such an extent that even without you saying any word, it would be so evident to the people interacting with you that you have humility, as it is me wearing a tie and you seeing a tie on me without me having to tell you that I'm wearing one. So that is what Paul is telling us, is that put on, close yourself on these things. As opposed to the list that he provided in verses 5 and 8 of those negative characteristics, focus on these good and beautiful deeds that are a result of your faith. Put them into practice. Make them your own. And recall, last time we also talked about that when you look back at verse 8, for example, where he says, put away or squash your evil desires, the list that he gives is very similar to the list that, as I mentioned last time, we find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, where he lists a list of very similar sins, quite frankly. And then he says, those that practice these do not inherit the kingdom of God. So recall that Paul was telling us back then in verse 8 that those that squash these desires are the Christians. verses, but those that practice shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a huge difference. And here, when he gets to verse 12 and he's telling us, put on, clothe yourself in compassion, in humility, meekness, long-suffering, the analogy that he's drawing is he's basically saying, practice these things as well. These should not be just a once in a lifetime or a once a year or a once a month types of activities that we do, practicing compassion and humility. These ought to be part of our life on a regular basis. These should be practiced. These should be practiced by us in our daily walk. And of course, he wraps up that first thought in verse 13 by saying, if anyone has a complaint against one another, and we all do at different periods of time in our lives, we all offend each other every once in a while. And so what does he tell us to do? He says, look to Christ as the greatest of example of the one who demonstrated compassion, of the one that demonstrated humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Look to him, and he says at the end of verse 13, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So that's the first reminder. Put on compassion, as you can see, humility, meekness, and think of Christ, because that is what he did for us. Second, if we continue on, in verse 14, Paul tells us and instructs us to put on love or to clothe ourselves in love. And look, in verse 14, he says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Some other translations or commentaries actually say the last sentence or the last portion of the sentence is better said by saying, because love is the perfect bond of unity. Put on love. Why? Well, the obvious answer to that is he tells us because love unites. Even when you think of your own relationships or perhaps broken relationships, some of the people, friends, family members, others that you are no longer very close with, my sense is that fact of the matter with some of them is because there's not much love between the two people or between the parties. And here, that is what Paul is reminding us. He's reminding us that we are also to wrap ourselves, put on, practice love on a daily basis. And remember what John 13:35 says? He says that we as Christians will be known by the fact whether we have love or not. So just like as in my example, people ought to be able to see my compassion, just like they see me wearing this tie without me having to tell them that I'm wearing a tie. Similarly, they ought to be seeing the love in us towards one another. Remember again, John 13:35 says, by this all will know you are my disciples. By what? If you have love for one another. Also remember Proverbs 10:12, and Peter repeats it in 1 Peter 4:18. He says that love covers multitude of sins. You all know 13th chapter of Corinthians, where love is described and the multitude of sacrifices and the results that it drives to. And Paul again here is reminding us and telling us that if we have been raised again, if we are the elect, remember, first of all, put on compassion in those adjectives, and second, put on love. I see that our time is fleeting, so I'll go ahead and just quickly mention the other four items, but I think we'll pick that up on next Sunday and walk through greater detail what each of those four are. So the third one, if you're following along, is mentioned in verse 15. In verse 15, Paul continues his address of the Colossian church, and he said, let the peace of God rule your hearts. So he tells us to fill our hearts with a peace. Why? Because so often we are, as human beings, are frazzled. We're anxious. We don't have peace that we ought to have. And he reminds us that we are to have peace. Also at the end of verse 15, look, he also tells us as the fourth thing to do is to be thankful. To be thankful. If we go on further, in verse 16, he also tells us to let the word of Christ rule our lives. Specifically, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And lastly, in verse 17, he says, And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. And there's a number of parallel passages that he highlights that. So again, these are the six things that Paul is reminding us that as the saved, as the elect, we are to focus, we are to cultivate in our lives. We are to put it in practice. We've looked at the first two in detail. We'll look at the next ones next time. Amen.